With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. Tell me what
you need, you know I got it. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I mean, so what?
Got to have it all the time, can't live without it.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
You just struggle getting it going.
He is none other than Peter King. What'd you make of Brian Flores' decision?
Is there a rule in the coaching rule book that says who is going to shatter like a pane of glass?
Earlier on the show, Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers. Still to come. Tampa Bay Times Bucks beat writer Rick Stroud. Emmy Award winning reporter Jim Gray. Actor Bobby Cannavale. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Okay, hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show on the air. Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times will be joining us in a matter of moments here to talk about last night's Monday Night Football game, the loss. Or the Rams win, man. I know these Rams, yeah. They're just going to keep on keeping on until they're the one seed, I guess.
I mean, we could split screen it. Did the Rams win or did the Bucks lose?
No, the Bucks couldn't stop Jared Goff and Kupp and Robert Woods in the first half. And then when they did stop him in the second half, couldn't get the points on the board. And until the last possible moment, when Brady did finally find Godwin, who made a beautiful leap to the end zone. And then, as I mentioned at the top of the show, the remarkable instance. I mean, again, Brockman, you being a Patriot fan, you saw virtually every snap of Brady football in New England, and I've been covering it pretty much the entire time. I can't recall the last time a coach on the north side of the two-minute warning decided to just kick the field goal and hand the ball back to Tom Brady with two and change to go and just say, go for it. Go for it.
Yeah.
Go for it. Go for it, Tom. Because the Brady, if you will, of old, and I'm not saying he can't do it anymore, but we haven't seen. Let's put it this way. Rams wouldn't have made that play against Mahomes. Okay. Right. Who basically needed three, got seven on Sunday night.
Right.
Jim Gray's going to join us at the end of this hour. He's been, you know, been interviewing Brady quite a bit in his role in Westwood One, and he's got a new book called Talking to Goats. The great Bobby Cannavale. I love this guy. One of the best actors around. He's great in everything he's in, and we're going to have a great conversation in hour number three. We're like cut from the same cloth, you know, from the New York area. Love the Jets. Love the Yankees. There's a lot of commiserating that's coming up. But right now, back from the Tampa Bay Times, fresh off of this Monday night loss for the Bucks that he covers, Rick Stroud. Rick, I feel like every single time I have you on, I hold you responsible with what's going on in Tampa.
It's all my fault. Actually, maybe Bruce Arians should read Talking to Goats because there seems to be a lack of communication there.
Well, let's get into that. Let's get into that. I give you the floor on what you think happened last night. What happened?
I'm with you. I mean, I was stunned. I think the conversation today should be about Sean McVay turtling in a situation where you give the ball back to Tom Brady, you know, with 2 minutes and a timeout, needing only a field goal to tie and a touchdown to win. I mean, this guy has 39 fourth quarter comebacks or something like that. I mean, it's unreal what his record is, and it should have been the story. But we have seen, you know, Tom Brady struggle now against good defenses, not against everybody. I mean, he tore Carolina up, obviously, but against good defenses and really struggled throwing the ball down the field. And in that situation, I'm not even sure you need to take a shot right there. I mean, you just, you know, completed a ball to Mike Evans. You're close to midfield. Just run your two-minute offense or whatever it is you typically do. But this is the problem, is that there is some sort of disconnect with Tom Brady, Byron Leftwich, Bruce Arians, whoever you want to say. But if you talk to Bruce, he's like, look, the guys are there. You know, when they're open, we got to hit them. One went off Antonio Brown's fingers. That was a misread on the final play. He put that on Brady. You know, Bruce is calling him out for and holding him accountable for every mistake he's made. And against the good teams, he's made a ton of them. I mean, he's got, you know, 7 of his 9 interceptions have come against, I think, the Saints and in the Rams, the two, you know, better teams in the NFC. So for whatever reason, and we drill this down every week, it's not happening. And it's not happening, particularly throwing the ball down the field. So I know it's a team game, but, you know, that's the problem. When you bring in a guy that for 20 years has done nothing but take you to Super Bowls, the expectation is he's going to do the Super Bowl. And he hasn't been able to do that. And now, you know, they got the world champions coming in here on Sunday. And they could be, you know, by the end of the day, next Sunday, they could be looking at 7-5 and hoping to win out or do really well in the final 4 games just to make the playoffs.
Well, before we get to turn the page, let's just linger a little bit on what we've just seen and what we have seen. You know, I mentioned at the top of the show that nobody really in the NFL wants to start with 12 straight weeks. I mean, a bye week in week 13 is not what you would normally circle and go, okay. But, you know, if you haven't had OTAs, you haven't had anything but public practices in the park to get on the same page prior to a season starting, you want as many reps as you possibly can get. And here we are in week 11 saying the same things as we did in week 1 coming off a loss. Is what was Brady thinking, or is Arians, you know, calling him out in a manner with which Brady is uncomfortable? And Brady's comfort level. I had Arians on it last week, and I asked him, you know, hey, Kurt Warner's telling me he doesn't think that Brady's comfortable in this offense yet. What do you think? And he agreed with that assessment. I asked him when he thought Brady would be comfortable in it. Then he laughed and he said next spring. And, you know, I don't think he was joking, Rick. You know, I don't.
No, Rich, I think that's possible. And, you know, I mean, you can only get so much done. You know, you came in here, the pandemic, all of those are really good excuses. Here's another one. They kept adding to this football team after they started playing, you know, or were beginning to play. I mean, and Jason Light has pretty much, you know, whether it was Gronkowski in the offseason or, hey, here's Leonard Fournette, let's bring him in. Oh, hey, here's Antonio Brown, let's bring him in. Well, when you do that, can you have too much talent in football? No. But, you know, you were starting to hit some strides a little bit against the Raiders, which is a good football team. You're hitting some deep balls to Scotty Miller. Well, now Scotty Miller is on the field 12, 15 plays. And I'm not saying that he's a better player than Antonio Brown, but that just adds to the lack of continuity that you're trying to build. You know, there were guys that were at least throwing with him back in February or March at the high school at Berkeley Prep. And, you know, they've continued. You know, here's what they don't have. They don't have a running back who can catch the ball, beat man coverage, and make plays after the catch. You can say Leonard Fournette's caught 70-something balls in a season, but you know what? He's not a route runner. And he dropped 3, and they said, you know, Bruce Arians said just a few minutes ago that 2 of those were on Tom Brady. I mean, everything seems to come back to the quarterback. And I had somebody tell me, which is unbelievable if you think about it, that Brady might have a confidence problem right now. And it's not that he's not a confident guy. My goodness, he's played in the biggest games in the history of football and won most of them. But as far as when he goes out there, you know, you can see that they're just, you know, they're grasping at straws at times. And, you know, even though he's involved, you know, what's the game planning? What do they do on the sidelines? I mean, Bruce said today he's over there on the sideline between series picking the plays that he wants to run and sort of calling his own plays. So I don't know. It's an issue, and I don't think it's going to change. They still got, you know, several weeks to try to fix it. But, you know, this season's getting late.
Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times here on the Rich Eisen Show. And what is your assessment of Brady and Arians? I mean, again, we know that you know, the narrative that Brady, after 20 years of Belichick, was looking for a new situation, and he found it in Arians, who is a lot more sharing publicly with his thoughts, certainly if they are casting the quarterback as a mistake prone. Is there an issue at all? They say there isn't, but what do you think?
I mean, I'm not in that circle, but the people that are around Tom every day,
right?
You know, in meetings and whatnot, they say it never comes up. You know, we've asked him about it, and he seems a little sullen. He'll just go to the default, well, you know, he's the coach, I'm a player. But I can't believe, Rich, that, you know, for all the research that we know Tom Brady did before he made this decision to come to Tampa, and he had many places that he could have gone, that he didn't talk to Peyton Manning or he didn't talk to Ben Roethlisberger, and that he didn't know everything that he thought he was getting with Bruce Arians, good and bad. You know, it's the we lose, we booze, baby, but it's also I'm going to call you out, and I'm going to call you out in public, and I'm going to tell you that I'm going to do it. Don't take it personal. It's just because your football sucks. That's what he tells every player at the first meeting that he has every year. So if Tom, you know, is hurt by this, yeah, you know, maybe you should. You can't ask the goat to have a thicker skin, but, I mean, you know, I think he wants to be accountable. I think he wants to see the other players see him be held accountable by Bruce Arians because, God knows, you know, Brady's holding everybody accountable on the sidelines and in practice and everywhere else. So that part might be a little overstated. It is shocking because we're used to Belichick not saying anything, but then what did he say in private? So I think too much is made of that. But if it all falls on Tom's shoulders, then, you know, that's where it was going to go anyway.
Rick Stroud, Tampa Bay Times. Couple more minutes left with him right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay, so let's turn the page and let's go glass half full a little bit here, because it's not as if this is a 4-17. They're 7-4. There is a 7 seed out there as well. The only teams that could maybe displace them in this game of musical chairs are the 5-5 Bears or a trio of 4-6 teams. So it's not like they're in danger of missing the playoffs, even if they do lose this coming week against Kansas City. You have the GOAT again, Brady. I think those throws that Arians was pointing out that didn't connect with Fournette came from just quickly getting it out because the offensive line is banged up and potentially he's a little concerned about his protection. But he's still making some great throws. I mean, he found Evans on this, you know, from the opposite hash last night to a sideline. He's making the throws. I don't think it's his arm. And then you do have an incredible, you know, Bucks still do have an incredible amount of talent. Question is what is the fix? Like, what do you think these smart guys like Arians are going to get together and the fix is going to be? What is it, Rick? What do you got for me?
Well, it's a great question. I mean, I think, you know, it's week to week, Rich, and that's the league we live in, right? I mean, you've got a whole nother problem coming to you. You can't worry about what just happened. These guys got the Kansas City Chiefs who are extremely explosive. The Bucks had trouble, you know, with some of the quick throws and tackling the Rams receivers. Just wait till they see Kansas City.
Right.
So you probably want to do something a little different and try to minimize the number of possessions that you give Patrick Mahomes. I don't think you want to get in a shootout, much like they really didn't want to get in a shootout with the Rams, and they kept the score reasonable. So it's hard to know. I mean, there's so little time. You can't fix everything, right? You've got to hope you get Ali Marpet back. You got to hope that, you know, A.Q. Shipley, who had a stinger, can play. I mean, they got issues of just trying to figure out who's going to go. And then it's a matter of, you know, executing. And one thing I know about Tom Brady in the short time I've been around him, he's not very pleasant to be around. Generally, he's pretty focused. But when he loses, it's going to be a rough week of practice for everybody over there. And he's going to be hard on himself. So, you know, I think Kansas City's got a big edge here. Don't be surprised if you don't see the best game from Tom Brady on Sunday. We haven't seen it week to week, and this is a great football team. But I do believe you're right that they play the Falcons twice, they play Minnesota, and they finish, I think, with Detroit or something like that, that combination. So they still have a good chance of making the postseason. It would be a lot better to be a higher seed. There's no doubt about that. You could find yourself in Green Bay or something. But they're not giving up. And we know this about Brady. I mean, how many times have people written the guy off, right?
Of course. Right, and although he's never won a championship playing on Wild Card Weekend, which it sure looks like they're going to do because they don't have the tie break against the Saints, and that's my last question for you. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you your 2 cents on Jameis still not getting the start with Breeze out for 3 straight weeks, and the kid that you've been covering for so many years now winding up in New Orleans. I don't know if there's any. I know you've got obviously the Bucks in front of you, and the Saints are another team, but I'm wondering what your two cents are or anything you've gleaned from all of this.
Well, I was surprised. I really thought that this was going to be the best shot that Jameis would ever have in his career would be to, you know, watching him come in and hold the fort when Drew got hurt. When you listen to Sean Payton, if you know a little bit about Sean, you know, I think he was excited to have a chance to continue to evolve his offense and see what Taysom Hill could do. He drafted him as a quarterback. They paid him a lot of money. I mean, Jameis is there for 1 year, $1 million, you know. And also, you know, Sean Payton has seen Jameis Winston now. He knows what the good and the bad is. And he's looking to win football games. They don't want to drop off. And I just think he had a lot more confidence in what he could do with Taysom Hill and what Hill would do in that system because he knows it, whether he's thrown many passes or not. But, yeah, it's not a good thing for Jameis that they chose to go that way. But then again, you know, he's on a winning football team, and he's got to continue to do the best he can if they need him.
Rick, appreciate the time. Don't lose our number because we're going to be calling you very soon again. I have a feeling this is just a fascinating. I mean,
well, maybe Rich, if they win a game or two, you can call.
Well, no, look, I called you off the win against the Giants.
No, I don't.
You know what I mean? It's amazing how here we are. It's Thanksgiving week. We're still having the same questions in Week 11 that we had in Week 1, despite them winning 7 out of 11, right? And it does appear that for Brady to get back to the Super Bowl in his first season outside of New England, he's going to have to do something he never did in New England, which he's already done in losing to a division opponent twice. But it's make the Super Bowl from wildcard weekend, which he never did. It sure looks like that's the way it's going to be. But he does still have the most talented cast around him. It's just fascinating. What a story. Rick, what a story.
It is a story, and we know he's up for the challenge.
No doubt. Thanks for the call, Rick. We'll chat soon. Have a good Thanksgiving with your family. That's Rick Stroud here at Tampa Bay Times. And I would be remiss if I did not mention Sean Payton is our first guest tomorrow of the New Orleans Saints. We're taking on the Denver Broncos, who just made Tua's fourth career start a bit of a it definitely threw a speed bump on his fourth career start. This is going to be second career start for Taysom Hill. You know,
to a Hall of Fame speech on hold.
You know, I tweeted out during the Saints game. You could see with Hill that when he gets more comfortable reading defenses. And he gets more comfortable just being the quarterback. Just the idea, okay, I'm not just going to take one snap and get maybe one more before running out of the game or lining up at tight end or getting the ball handed to me. I'm going back in the huddle and calling the next play. What's the next play, coach? He hasn't had that sensation since college. And he's 30. So I just tweeted out, I'm like, just you could see that if he gets more reps and he's going to get more comfortable – what a problem he's going to be. You know, and I got the usual Saints fans saying, you know, what are you talking about? Look how he's winging it around. I'm like, he's got 19 career pass attempts coming into the game.
Yeah, relax.
This is going to be his second career start. Denver just made a running quarterback. You know, this is going to be his second career start in Denver. Denver just made a fourth career start running quarterback or quarterback who can run with his legs. Made his life very difficult. Now, obviously, Tua didn't have the same weapons that Taysom Hill has at his controls. And with all due respect to Chan Gailey.
Uh-oh.
That's Sean Payton in Taysom Hill's ear. Notice I didn't say Sean Payton's in his ear with all due respect to Chan Gailey. I front-loaded it, which allowed me to say something disrespectful. That's the way we roll here. That's the way it's done.
You're an artist.
844-204. Thank you. Appreciate that. We'll take your phone calls and my four downs coach of the year candidate that nobody's talking about coming up. Interesting hot take on who might actually knock the Bucks out of the playoffs. That's coming up.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Support for this podcast comes from Pluto TV. Need an escape? Drop into Pluto TV for a world of free TV. Stream hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and shows all for free. Yeah, free. No subscriptions, no fees. Imagine 24/7 channels of Narcos, CSI, Star Trek, Survivor, and everything else from hit movies to binge-worthy TV shows, the latest news, live sports, comedy, and more. What are you waiting for? Download the free Pluto TV app for Android, iPhone, Roku, and Fire TV and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.
Ravens apparently have tested positive for COVID-19, but this game, as we are sitting here, still on. Ravens versus Steelers, Thanksgiving night at 8 Eastern time. Ravens are done with their bye as well. I just don't know how. Week in, week out, we just hold our breath. I just hold my breath seeing something going on with COVID-19. And hope that we can finish. But the NFL is definitely becoming expert at figuring out who has what and whether there's other close contacts and trying to move forward and move on. As of right now, NBC will cover Ravens Steelers for all of our pleasure on Thanksgiving night, which, you know, I'm knocking on wood that goes down. It's an important game for both teams. It's a great rivalry, and that's why the NFL scheduled it on Thanksgiving night on NBC at 8 Eastern time. After Dallas is done with the Washington football team.
I like the way you put that.
After Dallas is done?
After we're done with them.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Jim Gray, the author, Jim Gray, will be joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show. His new book, Talking to Goats. I might be the only one he didn't ask for a quote to talk about how great the book is or how good he is.
Uh-oh.
Are you going to bring that up to him?
Yeah, no. Is that going to be your first question?
I could have given you a blurb. I'm blurb worthy.
What gives?
I give good blurb.
You got to let him know.
Here's the incredible praise for Talking to Goats and Jim Gray. Ready?
Let's hear it.
Tom Brady, Kobe Bryant, Mike Tyson, Michael Phelps.
These are all goats. Yeah.
Muhammad Ali, Lonnie Ali, Jack Nicholson, Dr. J, Hank Aaron, Don Shula, Bill Walton, Snoop Dogg, Vince Scully, Wayne Gretzky, Bob Costas, Mike Ditka. I just didn't make the cut. I didn't make the cut.
You were a semifinalist.
Okay. Well, why you had it?
Forward by Tom Brady.
I can't play that.
After hearing the list, you can't feel so bad now after you know who else he did put in.
I think very highly of myself.
As you should.
I mean, do you not see I put my name on a mug?
I'm looking at you.
Did you go high register on me there?
I don't think so.
I think he did.
All right, you guys got to stop going higher register if you're talking about me.
I branded the mug last night, Rich. You saw that.
What do you mean?
I sent you a text in the group chat.
Yeah, but branding a mug among six people you work with is not branding anything. You're not branding anything.
I got to lie. I only watched like the first 4 seconds of that video, Mike.
Really?
See, that's not right.
I don't even know what happened. I saw that he had the mug and then he was wearing the Notre Dame hat and I went on to something else.
Yeah, but... You sent out
that's what I was doing.
A picture of your feeding your son.
Yeah, we were eating.
Right.
And then I didn't have time to watch Mike's video. So what
you can't complain. I mean, he's got an infinite
what
home.
What was the joke there? Did you do?
He's got an infinite home who's just as big as you are.
Did you do a bit?
Because he's eating a lot.
I mean, I was solo. Growing you know, boy. I was. Just,
oh, you're solo. Oh,
well, I'm solo every day till about 6 after I get home.
Mr. Mom, huh?
Yeah.
Is it all about? It's all about, you know what, 140, what is it, whatever it takes to get through it?
Whatever it takes, survive in advance, Rich.
Survive. Now you know what I'm talking about, survive in advance.
I get it.
This weekend, survive in advance, 4 days in a row, no school, no nothing, no zero. No, they're not in school now.
They have the whole week off.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
You filthy animals. I feel like I'm home alone.
Macaulay. Oh, God.
I did not just call my children filthy animals. I did not. They're
okay.
Lovely, wonderful children. They are really lights of our lives.
The collective hour or just your hour?
I just went royal we with a different word other than we. Pete in Richmond, Virginia, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Pete? Let's take some phone calls here.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
What's going on? How are you, sir?
Doing well. All right, first and foremost, I can feel you smirking whenever Brady throws an interception there, Brockman. You need to cut that out, buddy. I can feel it here in Virginia. Del Tufo,
yeah,
permission to come aboard, Captain.
You're in, baby.
Whoa.
Anytime.
Del Tufo. I love it. And Rich Eisen.
Yes, sir.
Sir, in the little play in there when you were like, oh, they were good. We can talk about the Colts. That's hilarious. But I want to talk about my Buccaneers and everybody like your esteemed radio guest, Aaron Rodgers, says, everybody needs to relax. Just relax. You got a bunch of superstars that are just learning to gel together, and it's going to come around. They get the bye week coming up. We're going to come around, and then, boom, playoffs come, and you better watch out.
Well,
and other than that, you gentlemen have a great Thanksgiving.
Yeah, you got Same a Pete. Thank you. Pete. Appreciate it.
Be well, man.
Again, you want to give them a loss against Kansas City?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Okay. No.
I give them a close game against Kansas.
Okay. So, even if we say that 7-5, and then you're on a bye, and then four absolutely winnable games, none of them are over 500, and half of them are in the NFC North, Minnesota at Detroit, and then the home and home against Atlanta, sandwiched around, you know, Detroit.
Right.
Two of the games are home and the other two are indoors. And so that's what Brady can excel. I mean, you're not even going outdoors and being in 20 degree temperature. And I appreciate the call, Pete. You know, you're saying let's just give him 7-5. That could be an 11-5 team coming into your house, TJ, off a 4-game win streak, taking on Dallas or Philadelphia. Because I think 11-5 should be good enough to get that 5 seed. And I say that because somebody who doesn't win the NFC West could have 11 wins and be that 5 seed and then knock you down to 6, which could potentially put you either against the winner of the NFC West for a third time or in Green Bay. Or if the Saints fall out and wind up the 3 seed, which is possible because they're just only a game in front of the Rams and Packers. Lots up in the air, but where I don't see the Bucs is sniffing it in the 8 or 9 spot. I just don't see it. I don't see it.
Playoffs start today. Bucs Packers.
There you go, baby. There you go. And you think Aaron Rodgers is going to be sitting there on the last time they played each other when it went south fast? After they took an early lead, and then it just one interception led to 15 different miscues and then a snowball. Bucks best win of the year. Best game of the year, best win of the year. I mean, if you put up Tampa's schedule one more time, Don, Tampa's not beating the good teams. Tampa's feasting on teams they should beat, and then the teams that they're going to see in the playoffs, they have lost to New Orleans twice, Rams. They lost to Chicago. How the hell did that happen?
No idea.
Oof.
How the hell did that happen? But that's something that, you know, I don't think is going to come home to roost other than the fact that a tie break and with a conference record, I don't know if that's going to come into play. But Tom has never, as you know, played on wild card weekend and wound up in the Super Bowl. New England's always had that bye.
Front runners.
To launch a Super Bowl run. And that's going to be a first for Tom. It's going to have to be a first for Tom. Let's go to Rafi in Israel, who's been hanging on a long time. I hope it hasn't cost you a lot. What's up, Rafi? Land of
hey,
milk
Rich,
and honey.
How you doing?
What's going on?
Good. I'm doing pretty well. Just two quick comments before I get to my main thing.
Okay, sure.
First, shout out to TJ for the Latino Heat poster. I see that.
That's what's up, man.
And also, not to rehash a little bit of a controversy, but shout out to your screener, Adam, for his bagel choices outside of the Raisin.
Okay. Now, Rafi, I know it's difficult to ask somebody in Israel if you can get good bagels around there, but you like
the
answer the, is no. You like the... Because, again, it's about water. It's about water, and I know, you know, you got the Mediterranean Sea around there. I know you got the Adriatic just up north a little bit, too. So... At any rate, what is your sports point that you'd like to get to?
I have an errand of grievances to give. Let's call it my Festivus.
Okay. All right.
Holidays are coming around, right? And it's about Buffalo and Miami. You made the point last week that Miami could potentially be playing for the AFC East. And I've been seeing this point around a lot.
Right.
And it seems to me that a lot of people are making this point without looking at basic things like the schedule or win losses, in division, in conference, tiebreakers, all that. But it's more about, I would really, really like to know why everyone is busy, ready to fawn over Miami when they go on a little bit of a hot streak, but everyone has to begrudgingly give Buffalo just a tiny bit of respect when Buffalo's been a playoff team for two out of the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's also been two out of the last 20, and this year probably going to win the division and maybe, hopefully, get a rematch against the Rams.
Okay, well, here's the first thing is that, you know, we've all seen Tua play on Saturdays, so his level of interest coming from the SEC is through the roof compared to somebody like Josh Allen, who, unless you were really watching Wyoming football, really didn't know much about, and you're still kind of learning about that up there in Western New York. For me, I was talking about earlier this year that the Bills could be one of those teams that can actually knock the Chiefs off later on. And then they had an opportunity to do it, and it did not go very well. I know that there was a lot of COVID craziness and when that game could be played, et cetera, and so forth, and that things might be different come January. And I'll just say this one more, and then let you go to the rest of your day there in the beautiful country of Israel.
Evening,
pardon me. Yes, your evening there. Just like all those years where I loved Matt Ryan and I loved the Falcons, and we just needed to see him do it in January. Just got to see it. And this is the year for the Bills to actually take this division and take it. And then, you know, if you put the AFC playoff picture up right now, you know, the Buffalo Bills still have an opportunity. They'll have to go on a run and hope the Chiefs lose multiple times to maybe get that one seed bye week. But they have an opportunity at that two seed taking on a seven seed that could be Miami. It could be Miami. It could be another team that's sniffing it outside there.
Miami 2 weeks in a row in Buffalo.
You know, right. And then, of course, there's the Steelers. There's a Steelers at the top of the flow chart. And I do have to let you go because I got to get to four downs. But thanks for the call, Rafi, there in Israel. The Bills have an opportunity to maybe stick the Steelers with their first loss. I think the Steelers win this week. I think the Steelers go to 11-0. And I think the Steelers go to 12-0 against Washington, and they take a 12-1 record into Buffalo on Sunday Night Football with Al and Chris and the whole gang sitting there. And I think Buffalo might beat the Steelers, hand them that one loss. Steelers fans will take it as they will. We need to get some form of, you know, lack of success. Let's just get it out of the way now. Better now. You'll hear that better now than January talk. That Buffalo could lay it on him. And then all of a sudden we'll have to sit here and go, let's not sleep on Buffalo any longer. But you got to do it in January. I said that all the time about the Atlanta Falcons, and they finally did it, you know, when they made the Super Bowl. And we're still talking about 28-3, unfortunately, because of that. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. You ready for four downs right here? My usual Tuesday look back at what's going on in the National Football League and try and make you smarter. Some nuggets, some observations of mine. Four downs right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Hut!
Four downs with Rich.
Here we go.
Why did you stop?
First down.
You know, sometimes I like to save my downs, not mention it on the Monday after the week of football. And sometimes I'll say something and then I'll look at you and I'll see you give me a little head nod. Like, I haven't thought of that, or a little eyebrow raise or something. This is that version.
Okay.
Okay? I dropped this yesterday. You know, my coach of the year coming into the campaign predicting that it would be Sean McDermott of the Bills. I thought the Bills were going to win the division and have an opportunity to win the conference, and it would be one of those 12-win seasons where it's like, let's give it up to Sean McDermott taking the Buffalo Bills to the playoffs. Right now, you know, Tomlin, if he goes 16-0, we'll have to have a conversation about that, but it's one of those things, too, is just... You're going to give Coach of the Year to a guy who we know is a great coach, or obviously Andy Reid, you're going to give it to him maybe. Frank Reich could be in that running right now based on the way the Colts finish. But there's a 7-3 team out there that has not made the playoffs in 18 years. Have not been 7-3 since 1989. Best 10-game start since 1994 when they were 8-2. It's time to talk about Kevin Stefanski as Coach of the Year for your Cleveland Browns. Let me give you a few pieces of information to back this up other than just the 7-3 record. That run game, baby, that run game is terrific. Third in the league in rushing yards per game, 156.8 yards. Third in the league in rushing overall with 1,568 yards. It's very simple math. When you get 1,568 yards divided by 10, that's how you get the 156.8 yards per game. Very simple. They've done this without Nick Chubb. He's only played six games. That's it. Chubb and Hunt together, he's fashioned it together for a stout run game behind an offensive line built for it. And the other teams that are in the top six in rushing, okay? Number one is the Ravens. Number two is the Cardinals. Number four is the Patriots. What do they have? Running quarterbacks. Five are the Titans. Six are the Vikings. What do they have? Bell cow running backs and Derrick Henry and Dalvin Cook. Nick Chubb would be a bell cow back if he could stay healthy. He's only, again, played in 60% of their games, and the run game is that good, and it's being backed up by a quarterback who's not turning it over. Baker Mayfield, in three straight games, all of them in terrible weather games, by the way, zero interceptions, only the second time since coming off of campus at Oklahoma. He has done this. He's never gone four games in a row as a professional quarterback with zero interceptions. And all he's got to do is not throw one against Jacksonville. And he's done that for the first time in his career, all backed up by a defense that is playing out of its mind without Myles Garrett last week. But Olivier Vernon has been terrific. This team that is coordinated on the side of the ball by Joe Woods, who Stefanski knows way back to his Brad Childress days, hired him away from the 49ers. And this guy is coaching this team up, and he's coaching it up very well. Put it all together, and Kevin Stefanski has the Browns at 7-3. All you got to do is beat one win Jacksonville. They're 8-3. They're winning games that they should win, and they've been playing much better since getting waxed in week one by the team that they're now looking down on in the standings. That's my first down. Here's second down.
Second down.
Okay, unfortunately, as we know, Joe Burrow is out for the year. And the good news that Cincinnati says they expect him to be back and ready for next season, which is great to hear.
Yeah, obviously.
But with him no longer in the mix for the rest of this year, and Tua, you know, he could put a nice run together, but if he puts a spectacular run together, he still hasn't played the whole season. Justin Herbert right now has the inside track. He's your favorite for offensive rookie of the year. He could have been before Burrow went down, but there would have been an argument. There would have been a conversation. This kid has been lighting it up. He has been terrific. I know the Jets had defensive backs fresh off their practice squad, but you still have to pick him apart as a rookie. And he's throwing Keenan Allen open, and he's finding Hunter Henry, and he is terrific. He is the real deal. Chargers fans, you can take solace in knowing you won't be talking about what the Dolphins have been talking about or what the Cowboys were talking about for all those years after Aikman. You know, so like, hey, are we going to find the next Phillip Rivers or not? You found the first Justin Herbert, man. He is terrific. And unless Claypool or Justin Jefferson put together a remarkable string of receiving games from here on out, you're looking at the guy as your offensive rookie of the year for 2020. And he will be on tomorrow's show at this very moment, literally 24 hours from now. He'll be calling in at 1:40 Eastern time, where we'll talk about his remarkable ascension and why in the world he would let his strength and conditioning coach and John Lott cut his hair to make him look like he's 12. So
I'm just glad the haircut didn't jinx it over the weekend.
Now, let's get to the final two downs here so we can get to Jim Gray on
third down.
I love the 7 seed. I didn't think I would say it. I thought when the NFL was saying, hey, let's go with the 7 seed for the playoffs, I love it. Right now, your 7 seeds are the Raiders and the Cardinals. Come on now.
Yeah.
Those are two terrific teams that I want to watch play football. Come on now.
I feel you. I love it this year. I want to see it be like this every year.
I may learn to not love it.
Yeah.
But right now, look at your matchups.
It's great. It's great.
You want to see the Raiders and Bills play a playoff? I mean, the Raiders and the Chiefs play a third playoff game?
I do. I do want to see
You want to see that?
Yeah, I do.
All right.
Yeah, I do.
You want to see the Arizona Cardinals go visit the Rams for a third time?
Yeah, I'd like to be at that game, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
I love it. I love it. I didn't think I would, but right now, so far, so good. And I don't think there's going to be a team on the outside looking in that gets in as a seven seed where I don't think deserves it.
I think you're right.
I think first time we were going around with a seven seed, I kind of dig it.
It's a home run.
All right, let's get to fourth down.
Right, you know what else I like, Mike? I love when it's fourth down because it's hot take plank time.
Masked up.
And he's going to say something so absurd that we're just going to kind of like,
I allow myself one hot take a week, and it's my fourth down, and I clutch the hot take plank, which is properly masked up to make sure everyone understands that if you can't be social distant for a period of time, you need to be masked up. Okay, so, by the way, the hot take plank made an appearance on Seth Meyers this week, too.
Yes.
Because he liked my hot take last week of his Steelers going 16-0, which looks pretty good right now.
Looks pretty good.
All right, so I told you the Bucs don't have anything to worry about. I think they make the playoffs no matter what. And if you're looking for a team that can come on strong and maybe make that run in the seventh seed and make things uncomfortable for whoever's sitting in the seventh seed, it's not your 4-6 Vikings, although they do have an ability to put some games together. I was disappointed the way they finished up against Dallas. It's not the 4-6 Lions. I think it is the 4-6 San Francisco 49ers. Oh. I am not done with them yet. I am not done with them yet.
Oh, wow. Okay.
49ers are coming off their bye this week, Thanksgiving week. They're coming back, and they're taking on the Rams, who have a short week, okay? I don't know. The 49ers can come in there, and if they can come away with this W, all right, and sweep the Rams, and then they go against Buffalo on Monday Night Football, then suddenly maybe they're going to get their guys back. What if Sherman comes back and Debo comes back and then Jimmy comes back and Kittle comes back? I'd look out for this team, man. Not ready to sleep on the defending NFC West and NFC champions 49ers just
like
yet.
It.
That's my
like
four
it.
Downs.
Not now.
That's my four downs. Let's start a break real quick. We're late for Jim Gray, and I feel bad. I feel bad. He's got a book out called Talking to Goats, and we will talk to Jim Gray about this book and more when we come right back.
Hello, everyone. This is Eagles Hall of Fame quarterback Ron Jaworski, and I am so excited to bring you the hottest new podcast for the NFL and gaming. Welcome to Jaws Picks, featuring me, Ron Jaworski, and some of the most famous names in sports, music, and entertainment, as I give you my expert analysis and predictions of each and every NFL game. So far this season, my predictions are over 55% correct
against the spread.
That's a pretty good number, folks. And over 67% picking winners straight up. You do not want to miss out on this podcast. Every week, I will tell you who, how, and why each NFL game will be decided. Take the guesswork and stress out of gaming and subscribe to Jaws Picks wherever you get your podcast. That's Jaws Picks wherever you get your podcast. Stay safe, take care, and let's make some beer money.
Support for this podcast comes from Pluto TV. Need an escape? Drop into Pluto TV for a world of free TV. Stream hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and shows all for free. Yeah, free. No subscriptions, no fees. Imagine 24/7 channels of Narcos, CSI, Star Trek, Survivor, and everything else from hit movies to binge-worthy TV shows, the latest news, live sports, comedy, and more. What are you waiting for? Download the free Pluto TV app for Android, iPhone, Roku, and Fire TV and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.
Hey everybody, the Rich Eisen Show store is open. Go to RichEisenStore.com and be the first on your block with one of these babies. T-shirts, both long and of course short sleeve in white or heather gray. We've got hats people, and of course, start your day with a cup of Joe and a Rich Eisen Show coffee mug. Go to RichEisenStore.com and shop your head off right now.
In mere seconds from our radio audience returning as one happy simulcast family here on NBC Sports on Peacock, where we stream every day after the Dan Patrick Show and prior to Brother from Another, all wrapped around by two Florio shows, Pro Football Talk at 7 a.m. Eastern and then PFT PM at 5 p.m. Eastern. These shows are white hot to the touch, if you will, with everything going on in the National Football League. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on this show. The great actor Bobby Cannavale lurks in our third hour. Chris Brockman's news update as well, still to come right here as we're keeping an eye on everything going on in the sports world, NFL. There's a big moves, maybe afoot for the New York Mets. Keep an eye on that. TJ Jefferson. We're back here in the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, and pleased to have here on the show. His new book, Talking to Goats, is available where all books are sold. Go get it today. The great Jim Gray back here on the show. How are you, Jim?
I'm doing great, Rich. How are you?
I am fine. I am sorry I'm a couple minutes late to get to you. And,
no,
it's all good. Look, there's nothing more personal than writing a book. Nothing more personal than writing a book. And this is now on the shelf forevermore. What made you want to do this, Jim?
I just felt it was time with everything that had gone on. And it's been 43 years in broadcasting and thousands upon thousands of interviews and events. And
right.
It just kind of all added up. And Stedman Graham always tells me two things. He's written 12 books. He says, Jim Gray, they're paying you to talk. Just keep talking. Get all this down on paper. So I finally took his advice.
Okay. And how long did it take you? I mean, did you have any help here? Or?
I did.
Okay.
Greg Bishop of Sports Illustrated did a tremendous job. He wrote the book with me. It took us just under 3 years. And
wow.
He went through all these interviews and transcripts and dug up all these stories with me and really did a great job. He's a really diligent, terrific writer.
Anything that you saw as a thread through line to the goats that you're referring to? You put many of them on the front cover of your book. You had Tom Brady's writing the foreword. Is there a through line that you found with all of these people that you have spoken to so successful that they were?
I think they all have, you know, those basic components of hard work, dedication, and they're myopic in their pursuit of that excellence.
Right.
But they all seem to go about it in much different ways.
And how so?
Well, I mean, you know, some of them are tormented by that ability to touch perfection but not grasp it, like Michael Phelps, who spent his entire life, you know, as an adult, staring at a black line to try and get a fingernail to the end of the board first.
Mm.
And, you know, just think about that statement and what that might do to you. Floyd Mayweather defined himself much differently with a 50-0 record. That O after his name meant everything to him. And also that O after his bank account meant everything to him.
That's right.
Whereas Don Shula, you know, the perfect season, end up defining him, not only the 347 wins, which is the most all time, but what he wanted for his team to have 1972 be remembered forever. So everybody goes about it differently. Tom Brady, obviously, he wants to touch it again and again and again and again, and he can't hold on to it. But he's had the perfect quarter. He's had the perfect comeback. He's had, you know, all of those things. But what drives him is to do it, you know, for the seventh time now. And Kobe Bryant didn't matter to him. Kobe Bryant was going to win no matter what. And the commitment to win, it didn't matter who you were. If you were a teammate or an opponent, and you were in the way, he knocked you over. So they all go about it differently, but they all are trying to reach the same place.
Jim Gray here on the Rich Eisen Show, 12-time Emmy Award winner and now author, Talking to Goats, where all books are sold. Is it safe to assume that you've interviewed Brady more than anybody else because of your week-to-week conversation that you've had with him for all these years?
I would say that's fair,
okay.
Yes.
So then what do you think he's thinking right now, Jim?
Like today?
Yes, sir. Today. After last night.
He's thinking, how did I lose that game, and why did I throw those passes, and how am I going to get better next week? And it's a short week, and it's a short, you know, memory, and the losses do linger much, much longer than the victories. And so I'm sure he's beating himself up today, and it's not a good day for him.
Mm-hmm.
Or his teammates, and, you know, he wants to doesn't want that to happen, and he didn't, you know. It's not what we're used to seeing in the end of games, but, you know, it's inevitable, too. Look, unlike boxing, where you're defined by one loss now, how many games did the Chiefs lose last year? You can still be a champion at the point. One game can go quickly in the NFL. It wasn't 3 or 4 weeks ago. Everybody thought they were the best team in the NFL, and then they played the Saints and had a bad performance, and they played last night, and it wasn't a bad performance. It just wasn't a victory.
No, I know. I mean, all those America's Game documentaries that NFL Films puts together so expertly, all those six of them that Brady's Patriots were able to place in front of the Mavens at NFL Films to put together, you know, all of them had some sort of adversity that they had to face at some point, and it appears that we are seeing that right now for Tom. Why do you think he's still doing it, Jim?
Because he still can, and he still, you know, again, what have we seen? These five interceptions in those two games. Before that, it was 20 touchdowns and what, 5 or 6 interceptions on the year. And a couple of them, 3 or 4 of them, came very early in the season. So he went 200 passes because he can still do it. His arm strength is there. His mind is still there. His abilities are all still there. And it's not like, you know, Frank Layden said it many, many years ago. He was a great coach for the Utah Jazz, and he had a bad season. He says, you folks think I went dumb overnight? Okay? So he was a coach of the year or whatever he was, and terrific. And so he can still do it. And, you know, that's why he does it, because he loves football and he loves his family, and that's what his life is. So he always says, why do everybody want me to retire? Well, they want me to retire because he used to say they hate me in 31 cities. Now they hate him in 30 cities. Boston still, I believe, loves him, and Tampa loves him. So everybody else wants a chance to win. So it's not over yet. He always says football starts at Thanksgiving. So that's this week. So it's not a very good prelude for the Bucks going into Thanksgiving, but let's see where they are next week, and it won't get any easier with Kansas City.
A few more minutes left with Jim Gray talking to GOATs. Any of your interviews throughout your career that you wanted to make sure is spotlighted in this book because it's a story you wanted to get out, a backstory you wanted to get out, certainly when there's so many narratives involving many of your interviews throughout the years, Jim?
Well, I think, you know, the decision now, 10 years in the rearview mirror, there's a chapter on that, and we discuss everything that went on with that show and what it looks like now today. Pete Rose, that was 21 years ago. That caused a lot of controversy and agita and tumult, and we go through that. And by the way, after 21 years, about 2.5 weeks ago, for a special on Fox that just aired, I went back and sat down with Pete Rose, and we spoke for an hour. So it was a really interesting conversation and really went well. And so I was glad that Pete did that. So those are two. Obviously, a chapter on Tiger Woods, one of the first interviews that he ever did where he predicted his greatness when he was 9 years old. Said, when I grow up, I want to win all the majors and beat all the pros. Became a very famous Nike commercial.
Yes.
So there's just a lot in here that, you know, not necessarily wanting to set any record straight, but just my version of events of what's gone on and what I've learned and what the public can learn through all of these guys, you know, great athletic achievements and their trials and tribulations.
What was more interesting, the conversation you had on camera with Pete or the off-camera one to set up the on-camera, Jim?
Well, here's what happened, Rich. About a year ago, the Cancer Society asked me to come and introduce Mike Tyson, who was being honored. And that same night, Pete Rose was being honored. So Pete walked over to the table, and I said to my wife, Fran, uh-oh, how's this going to go? So right. I stood up, and he extended his hand, and he said, Jim, you do a great job. You're really terrific at what you do. And I looked at him, and he said it again. And I said, you really don't mean that, Pete, do you? He said, no, I really do. What happened between us is 20 years ago, and a lot has changed. A lot has gone on. So Mike Tyson stood up because we didn't know what was going to happen. And Pete says to Mike, who do you think would have won that fight between Jim and I? And he said, there's no question. Jim would have killed you. So that broke all the ice, okay? So,
right.
You know, we had a nice conversation, and I just figured, you know, it's been 21 years. The book is coming out. Fox is nice enough to give me a special on the book.
Right.
And I called up Pete, and he said yes right away. He drove over to Las Vegas, and we sat down at the Bellagio Hotel, and we talked about that night. He said, you were just doing your job. I recognized the timing and recognize that, you know, the tone of that from people having a melancholy feeling of seeing Ted Williams and Sandy Koufax and all their heroes,
right,
that, you know, perhaps what I should have done could have taken place at any other time. But on that night, it was actually his Hall of Fame celebration that the fans were giving him. So, you know, we just went through it and, you know, reminisced and spoke about everything that transpired after that.
But Mike Tyson was ready to step in. And be
Mike
your
was ready to step. Yeah,
he was ready
Mike,
to step in on your
yeah,
behalf.
Yeah, because you know Mike really just kind of guards me everywhere I go, Rich.
Well, then put him on the phone, Jim.
Well, that's not hard. You need Mike on your show?
No. I thought call. He's right next to you. Is what I'm saying.
Oh, since oh
he's
right with, now, no, he's, no, he's with Kiki training for his fight this weekend.
That's right. Oh my God, isn't that amazing? Oh my
he's
gosh,
quite a guy, Mike Tyson. There's a lot more to him. That's the name of the chapter in the book. Much more than the bite.
Much more than the bite. Jim, I appreciate the time. Congrats on the book. Congrats on getting it all out there. Hope you sell a lot of them, and everybody should go get Talking to Goats, where all books are sold. Appreciate the time, Jim.
Rich, appreciate you. Thanks for having me
right
on.
Back
Happy
at you.
Thanksgiving to you and Susie and the family, and you're the best. Appreciate
Thank you.
It.
Right back at you. The beauty of Jim's success is the rote for so many people. I ask a question, you answer it. I ask a question, you answer it. And it's just maybe one more because you got to go, because that's all the time we have. You answer it. He's packed a lot into that construct.
Yeah, yeah. Right place, right time.
He's packed a lot in there. And it's all in his book, Talking to Goats, where all books are sold. Bobby Cannavale, I cannot stress enough how great this interview is going to be. That's coming up. Chris Brockman's news update, hour number three. The Mets are in, maybe. They're in, I'm telling you. That's coming up.